You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue, and good morning. Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, June 23rd, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy joining us from A1 in a moment. Brittany Merlot giving us the forecast coming up as well. First, a reminder, of course, we'd love to have you sign up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage, where today Christina Lurie has a story in there about frozen custard. And what is it about Wisconsin that we love our frozen custard so much? I mean, we like our ice cream too, but custard's really kind of something unique to this neck of the woods. Parker, I was going to mention to you as well, and you know, actually, let's bring everybody in, John and Gordon and Brittany and all that.
Big round table.
Let's fix things right on air here, okay? Let's have one of those pull the curtain back moments. So as I'm refilling my coffee in the kitchen, and up comes on my phone screen a thing from Spotify saying that, you know, the podcast episode has dropped for the 6 a.m. hour.
Yeah.
Now, the title for the 6 a.m. hour was Iran Surrenders, and then in brackets, sarcasm font. Mm-hmm. Well, we've learned today that if you put it in the brackets, it doesn't show up in the title. So right now, everybody thinks my first hour is about Iran surrendering.
I fixed
not
that.
Not even being sarcastic about it.
Wow. I fixed that.
Do you fix that already?
I thought so. I thought I fixed it right away.
Okay, well.
Go, Parker.
I'll take a look and let you go.
I will.
Well, not now, but, you know, at some point here. We're not going to lose that just, many more listeners a misleading title.
Yeah, but I'm all for good information, not misinformation, Pat.
Oh, listen to this.
Oh, that is wonderful. I'm feeling warm.
Spoken like a man straight out of college who still has, like,
hope,
great
optimism, desire,
that's right,
ambition,
that's right. That's
all right. The things I miss so much, along with my knees and one of my shoulders.
Oh, those are pretty much gone,
wow,
too.
Yep. We'll ask the guys how they survived the heat here in a bit. But, Brittany, since you got the forecast duties here, how did you beat the heat, or what did you do when you were out and about?
Yeah, so I went to the beach. I went to Lake Superior, the free AC, and tried to attempt to go in the water, but it was so cold there I didn't even need to.
No, there was no 100-degree heat index up there.
No, not at all. Okay. It was in the mid-50s. So
right. So you did it right. All right.
I did.
And it's moving on out of here now.
Yes, it is. Slowly but surely. Now, there still is, you know, heat advisories for a good 2/3 of the state, pretty much the eastern and southern parts. And it still stays there till about 7 o'clock this evening. So still feeling like the low 100s today, still reaching the low 90s for a good chunk of the state. But far northwest, your highs are going to be in the upper 70s. Yeah, some free AC is rolling through, but there's a price to pay to get the cooler temperatures here. And that's going to come in the form of storms. Some could be strong to severe, especially in areas towards La Crosse, into Wausau, then down into the Fox Valley, Madison, you're into that area as well. These storms want to start around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, probably around Winona, La Crosse area, Wausau, and they're going to start to build and become more numerous and maybe a little bit stronger with some high winds possible too. And as there's going to be a line as it pushes in towards the Madison-Green Bay area, and this is only going to be while the daylight's out. Once it gets dark, this thing fizzles out and becomes just rain. So again, really high risk of some high winds and, of course, some heavy downpours. Hail and a tornado is possible, especially early as these storms start to form. But once they get into that line, I think that risk kind of goes away a little bit more. But still, storms sparking up around noon. Again, tomorrow, the front is going to be sitting over southern Wisconsin. It is going to continue some heavy rainfall. Then it lifts north as we go through the rest of the week. And then it starts to get out of here as we go into the weekend. So a lot of heavy rain, widespread 1 inch is expected. Some places could get around 3 to 5 inches by the time this week is over. So this
is, again, look for your target for mowing the lawn. And
yes,
make your target, or you're going to regret it later on.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. I see how this works. All right. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it so much. Coming up right after this program, Matt and Air on Air, Jane and Greg have Civic Media's new news director, Sholly Pittman, coming up at 9:30. Wisconsin bug guy, PJ Leisch from UW-Madison's entomology department. And, of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, their segment coming up at 10:50. On the Todd Alba Show, 2:30 this afternoon, he will welcome in State Senator Kelda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee. And the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, Matt Rothschild is the guest co-host with Elon Berman from the American Foreign Policy Council with a follow-up on the U.S. attack on Iran over the weekend. The other fun things we get to do here on this program are talking to some of the people who cover Wisconsin in other local areas. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram on Wednesday, James Kelly, who does the northwestern part of the state. Jimmy Cuska talks to us from covering things over in the western Wisconsin area. And it's so great that on Monday mornings, we get to talk to our Madison morning folks, John and Gordy, who join us from Madison Studio A1. Guys, how are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. How did you guys survive the heat? Do you have,
well, or
do,
we're do, recovering.
Do you thrive on it? Yes.
No, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me.
Oh,
I'm really allergic to dew points. So anytime the dew points are high, you won't find me anywhere outside. I am indoors, air conditioning, fans blowing like crazy.
Yeah, so we actually ran into each other over the weekend in the Walmart parking lot on the west side of Madison, and we decided, you know, we'd never talk to each other once the show was over. We usually just go our separate ways, and especially on the weekends, we don't really check in with each other. You know, we have other lives to lead, but we ran into each other, and we thought, well, you know, let's go have a beer somewhere.
That's right.
So that's what we did.
That's what we
went
did.
To a new place in town that a friend of ours owns, and we had a nice cold one. And so that took care of Saturday afternoon.
So you had a good time, because I see this unfolding. You get the beer, you each take a sip. You look at each other. It's like, oh, yeah, that's why we don't do this. Okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway. So. Well, you know, when you're doing a morning show, having a beer is like a real downer. You're ready to go to sleep right after the beer.
Exactly. We both needed a nap after one beer. Yeah.
But the funny thing about the heat, though, I mean, it was really hot down here, you know, 93 degrees. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, we were out there working in the yard really hard, doing a lot of gardening, making sure that, you know, we're getting ready for the week-long rain. Our neighbors were doing the same damn thing. Everybody was outdoors working really hard in the yard with 93 degree temperatures. Ridiculous.
It's crazy.
I know, because you got to, because otherwise if it rains and you don't get things done, it just gets really out of hand. So no, I totally understand that part. We actually took the pontoon out for the first time this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and you kind of get, you know, those little misters, you know, the fans that, you know, blow a little water on you. You get on the lake naturally. It was really windy, of course, all weekend. Mm-hmm. And so it, you know, really chops up the water, and you can get that speed just right that you can dunk all of your riders. Occasionally you just hit the wave, they get the spray.
Beautiful.
9 out of 10 times they're mad at you. But this weekend it was like, thank you.
Yes,
I needed
please.
That, you know, yes, please. We go up river to a place called the Mallard. It's just this little resort with, like, you know, 6 cabins and some campsites, but then it also has a bar. And so a lot of people come up river or down river, and they park their boat in there, and they go get a cold one, and they sit around for a little bit. And it's got this area where once a year they dump a truckload of sand on the river. It's maybe 30 feet wide tops, and you know, maybe 8 feet, you know, before you get to the river. And all of our grandkids over the years have always referred to it at a certain age, like the beach. They want to go to the beach. I just think that's adorable. I'm like, the beach. It's like this little pile of sand, you know, but it works for them. They go hunting for, you know, crayfish in the air, or crawfish in the, you know, in the rocks and everything there.
Yeah.
And after all these years, they still keep coming back. These stupid crawfish. Like, have you not figured out the kids that are, like, biting your head off or whatever? They're just like, oh, look, my thing is, and then it flops over dead. But, you know, it's
when the sand arrives.
Yeah.
Take a vacation.
Yeah. when you hear the kids go, like, our yard is filled with, you know, squirrels and rabbits. It looks like something out of, you know, Snow White or whatever. But as soon as, you know, all the little kids show up, boom, they're gone. There is not a woodland creature to be found for the next, you know, 3 days. until they realize that the coast is clear. But it was still fun. Well, I'm glad you guys beat the Heat. Now, Parker was telling us earlier he was working the Madison Mallards game when that pitcher had a no-hitter the other day. And I've been to two Madison Mallards games. Love them. I've been to a few Eau Claire Express games as well. St. Paul Saint. I love Northwoods League baseball. I love minor league baseball. Is it something that you guys, I mean, the team's been around for a little while now, so do you go to a game or two here and there, or does that something you did, you used to do, you don't do so
used
much anymore?
Used to do a long time ago, the Madison Muskies.
Yeah, before the Muskies, they changed the name to the Mallards, or they got a different management or owners or whatever. It was the Muskies, and we used to go to some of those games.
We used to go to those, those were a lot of fun.
Haven't been out there for a while, though. But I love minor league baseball. It just it's the way it should be. You know, it's families coming out to the ballpark and having a good time, and they have more family activities, you know, in and around the ballpark. So yeah, it's a good time though.
Yeah, in the old days with the Muskies, they used to make fun of their mascot, and they had a lot. You know, they celebrated the craziness of a Muskie.
Sure,
and that was great. I don't know. Did they do that now with the Mallards at all?
I don't
I'm
know.
Not sure. I don't think so. Pat, are you familiar with are you familiar with the Savannah Bananas? Are you know about these guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I do. We were talking about them the other day.
Yeah, because I discovered I saw it on ESPN and I was just freaked out over it. I had no idea the Savannah Bananas were around. And who is the other team that they have?
I'm not sure who they play. Yeah.
For folks that don't know, would it be fair to call them like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball?
Yes, that's it.
Exactly. Yes. You know,
just a lot of performance, but they're talented. They're not like they just happen to play baseball. It's like, no, they can actually play baseball.
Yes.
And do all these crazy things.
Yeah. I saw the outfielder catch a fly ball out there with his hand behind his back, glove behind his back. He caught the ball. Freaked me out. This is like my first introduction to entertainment in baseball. Why don't they do this all the time in baseball? You know, they dance between, you know, the teams setting up and or on the sidelines.
And the umpires are out involved there. And the whole team is involved and they get the fans going. Great way to watch baseball. Yeah.
Look how much more involved it is now, not just at the minor league parks, but even you go to American Family Field or Target Field, and they've now got stuff in the concourses, you know, for the kids to do.
Yeah,
maybe pitch a ball through, you know, past a radar gun or whatever. And how different it is then. I mean, if you still have to go to Wrigley or Fenway, these two things that were built in 1912, and how many generations of kids had to go there, and dad goes and he's got his little straw hat on and says, no, you're just going to watch the game. There's nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Nothing else. Just watch the game. We got it a lot easier now. There's a lot of distractions, to be sure, if you just want to watch the game. But I think most people welcome it. And like I said, Madison's got a great setup for it, as does Eau Claire.
Yes.
I like to make a tour of some of these others. I have not been to any of the others yet around Wisconsin. Wausau, Appleton's got one. So if we can get Parker to work on that, maybe start doing some remotes from some of these minor league ballparks.
Do you want that?
Boy,
would
that be fun.
Do you want a night game for me?
No.
Nights with Pat Kreitlow?
No, we're totally 6 a.m. You know, out there, and we're just talking to the groundskeepers. You know, let them have all the fun stuff later in the day. We're talking to John and Gordy here from our Civic Media Station in Madison. A local update is coming up next for a couple of you. For others, we will continue conversing with John and Gordy. And then later, when we're all together 15 minutes from now, we are going to be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong about the state budget process, the process that could be more bipartisan, but some people don't want it to be more bipartisan. Live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota, thanks for spending part of your mornings up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey As I've mentioned once or twice on this program, we have newsletters 7 days a week at Up North News. Head over to our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up top. Today, Christina follows Food Network's 25 iconic eats and drinks from America's Dairyland and top-rated places to get them. Today, it's all about frozen custard, plush and creamy and egg-enriched with no sparing of butter fat. This Dairyland treat is a Wisconsin phenomena, wrote columnist Therese Allen, coming north via the 1925 World's Fair in Chicago and first took hold in Milwaukee. So people love their frozen custard, whether it's, you know, Cops, Culver's, all the other places. But John and Gordy continue with us here. And guys, we were talking about people still love their ice cream joints. There's always a local one someplace. In Chippewa Falls, it's Olson's. Everybody talks about Olson's ice cream. Eagle River's, I mean, Minocqua's got theirs. We love those little shops.
We had a little vacation up in Eagle River one time. I guess they have rented cabins on a lake up there. And funny thing was, we weren't ready for it. They love ice cream up there. There was a pirate ship that sailed off of the docks of a ice cream shop on the lake. And it was a gigantic pirate ship with the sails and everything. And they went across the lake. And it was very entertaining, but very strange to see that up north, you know?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's how much they like ice cream up there. People got on board this giant pirate ship to sail across the lake eating ice cream.
Hey, you know why they do it for ice cream? Because they don't have something like that for old fashions. If they did, then all the parents would be there as well. Yeah, and they'd be divided. These ones like theirs with brandy. They like theirs with whiskey. So, but as far as going up north, one of you guys said you had a cabin in the Minocqua area?
Yes. My family did. Yes, it was just wonderful up there. In fact, the lake was great. And they had a nice lakefront cabin, and it was the worst cabin in the world. I mean, no one kept it up. It was really dilapidated. It was just bad. And all these beautiful $500,000 homes were built around it, and they hated them. They hated my parents. They hated the cabin. So, you know, we dealt with it. That's the way it is.
Oh, but, yeah. I've noticed over the years, you know, as you move further up upriver here on the Chippewa, that at some point there was, and now we've been here 30 years, but at some point there's like this unofficial line where you stop seeing houses and you start seeing cabins.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the glaciers retreating is the cabin line retreats as people are building their homes. And instead of admiring the little cabins, instead, I see, like, my daughters will sometimes, they'll have Zillow on their phone. And they'll be looking at the value of this particular house here, which is, you know, more than everybody in these radio stations, you know, combined makes, given the way some of these houses are constructed. There's not cabin world anymore by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it really isn't. And it's kind of tough for the school systems up there, too, to survive because of, you know, the tax base up there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very few people.
It blows up everything.
Yeah,
I was telling you during the break, being up here on Lake Wissota, and that one of the bars here on the lake recently changed their name. And we had company up from La Crosse over the weekend, and they were asking, why is this place, you know, renamed 1917 Lake Wissota? And I explained to them that that's the year that the dam was built and that the lake was formed, you know, being a man-made lake by the old, well, now it's XL Energy, but the old Northern States Power Company. So Wissota was a combination of Wisconsin and Minnesota. Every listener out there right now is going, duh. But, you know,
I didn't know that.
Okay, all right.
I had no idea, actually.
But then I got to tell them, you know, everybody here, the most famous movie blooper, you know, in local history is all about Lake Wissota and 1917. Do you happen to know the reference I'm making here?
1917?
No.
It's to the movie Titanic, where the Leonardo DiCaprio character, Jack Dawson, talks about, he's talking about, oh, cold water, you know, I worked on Lake Wissota in the winter times. He couldn't because the Titanic sunk in 1912. So it's 5 years before the lake. And of course, everybody up here is like, that's terrible. I like pull the movie back. You know, it's like, no, guys, it's artistic license. It's okay.
Yeah.
But we feel very proud here because we've got the call out in Titanic.
Absolutely.
Woody Hall or Annie Hall from Woody Allen. You know, it mentions Chippewa Falls. And of course, there's Tommy Boy, where, you know, they're driving that car all over, and it's after the deer, you know, comes back to life in the back seat and everything. Yeah. And as it's getting to a halt, it stops at a sign that says Chippewa Falls, 100 miles.
Right.
So look, we're not Madison. We don't have State Street. You know, we don't have the Capitol, but we got these little movie references, you know.
I'd live on those. Are you kidding me? I mean, that's great conversation pieces.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You know, the thing here is also, you know, Wisconsin doesn't allow a tax credit for people to film here, to do shows here, which is really sad. And I think in this current budget, I think they're finally going to allow that tax credits for filming here in the state and getting our name out there.
Have a film office.
That would be fantastic.
And, promoting the beautiful scenery and all the great locations.
Yeah. Well,
because there are so many budding filmmakers just in Madison alone, but every college town around here, now everybody with their camera can be an aspiring movie maker. And so, why wouldn't we try to do more to, you know, kind of burnish our image? You know, I see all these other film credits that, you know, list, you know, Georgia or Canada or whatever. It's like, yeah, let's make that happen.
Well, it's a real shot in the arm for small communities. I mean, Johnny Depp was in a movie here in a small town here.
Right.
And people went out there to watch and see how it all unfolded. It brought a lot of tourism into these towns.
Yeah, let's make
this
happen.
So it really helps. Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. We've got our first policy directive for civic media.
Exactly.
We've never lobbied at the Capitol before, but it's about time we started somewhere with our new Capitol lobbyist, Luke Mathers. Put it on his to-do list. So
absolutely.
John and Gordy, thanks so much. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Have a great week, Pat. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you, Pat. We'll talk to you later.
All right, coming up, we'll be talking with State Representative Francesca Hong about matters happening with the state budget and the bipartisanship, or lack thereof, up at the state capitol. I'm Pat Kreitlow, the Midwest Farm. Oh, no, that's at 6:30 and 7:30. You can hear the Midwest Farm Report. We'll be back after this little break. You're up north. We may have set some kind of a record in the comment sections today. Now, a lot of it has to do with the attack on Iran over the weekend, with people going back and forth about what was constitutional or not, and other stuff, let's just say. Not everybody plays nice in the comment section, if you know what I'm saying. So every so often, it's a little tougher to sift through and find these things. But here from Tony up here, Pat needs a backlight to separate him from his fancy new bookshelf. If we're critiquing, it's hard to separate his black headphones from his black bookcase. Well, Tony, let me grab my fancy new remote control here, and let's try that.
Ooh, look at that.
Look at that. We got it's not like high intensity backlighting, but it's not nothing. So
it appears that you're missing a light.
I am missing a light. I am.
Okay.
Here's the problem with IKEA.
With IKEA. Oh boy. Yeah.
So I ordered all this online. I had it delivered, and I saw the lights up here. They look really nice.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you that if you do more than three lights, you need a separate little power adapter thingy.
Gotcha.
So I have to go looking up the power adapter thingy, and then I can put up, you know, the fourth light that goes there. But thank you for noticing. Now it's going to bug everybody when they look at this.
I like to have attention to detail.
Well, that you got. So there, we've taken care of that. It's a Monday morning. It's June 23rd. Appreciate you having you here, and we appreciate State Representative Francesca Hong, who's joining us as well to give us a bit of an update on the state budget. Busy being, you know, mom in the meantime. And is it summer camp season now?
Yes, today is the first day of camp, and of course he did well, and I just had to hover real quick to see if he was all good.
Aw.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, I had a daughter staying with me over the weekend, and the two little ones, ages 6 and 3, and they left, you know, mid-show here, which is really tough because they're, you know, doing hugs and squeezes and kisses and everything. I'm like, just go. I can't cry on the radio. Just stop it. So I get it. You know, we got to take care of family, especially your job, which has demands in all the weirdest times, you know, you never know when you got to go knock doors or go to a fundraiser or, I don't know, pass some legislation, which would be great to do if you all could get a chance to. But you shared a clip recently of some committee interaction and how the committee chair just really wants to micromanage the conversation in a way that avoids talking about all of the things that go into a state budget. It's not just about, you know, tax cuts for the well-off, but there's healthcare, there's education, there's all these things that are necessary. And, you know, you were simply trying to, I think, make the point that we have a very interconnected budget if you're willing to make those connections.
Well, I think, first of all, I was responding to testimony from the bill authors regarding a bill that would have removed reoccurring referenda. And so I thought that was a really great segue and would give me an opportunity to build some context around how what would be driving the need for schools to go to referenda. And the chair of the committee, Representative Joel Kitchens, felt as though that was not pertaining to the bill, interrupted me multiple times. And even though I tried to reframe the question and add additional context, he accused me of trying to always twist the conversation. But especially when Republicans are saying things like historic investments in school and these increasing budgets, that's just not true. And the latest votes that happened in the Joint Committee of Finance executive session last week, the Republican motion included $0 increase in state aid or equalization aid for K-12 public schools. This has not happened since 2011, when Scott Walker administration actually decreased the state aid to K-12 public schools. So it's incredibly unprecedented. I don't love using that word because it's not surprising that the Republicans have very little interest in actually taking care of our kids. But I think it's important for folks to know that what they are presenting in their motions is wholly inadequate. And in addition to the $0 state aid increase, we're talking about 37% special education reimbursement, where remember that is for private schools where public tax dollars are going to voucher schools, they receive 90% reimbursement for the state for their special education costs. And so we're pitting students against one another. And in a time where we should be ensuring that every child has their needs met, and opportunities to thrive, we're picking and choosing how to fund our schools and really pitting our communities against one another too, when we're forcing taxpayers to raise their own property taxes because the state refuses to fully and adequately fund our schools.
As you were trying to make these points and getting interrupted, I thought of the time when Elizabeth Warren was trying to do the same thing in the Senate and actually was disciplined for continuing to speak, and the phrase, yet she persisted, came into the lexicon. And I immediately thought of that watching you do this, because all I thought you were trying to do, and this is I'm putting words in your mouth here, was to want to say to the Republicans, okay, look, you don't want these recurring referendums, so you could maybe better fund the schools, right? So that we don't need the referendums. And I just wanted one of them to go, oh, no, we don't want to fund schools. We just don't want you guys to have any more referendums. I mean, at least be honest with folks that way, that that's what this bill is really all about. You just don't like that pesky democracy breaking out.
We were presenting alternatives and solutions that, again, would eliminate the need to go to referenda. And unfortunately, having a conversation about inadequate public school funding is one that Republicans will continue to evade because it's something that their communities, people in their district, are demanding. And we saw that with testimony from all across the state, where Wisconsinites showed up to tell Republicans and Democrats on the Committee on Joint Finance what their communities need, that we need a budget that reflects our morals, our values, our needs. And unfortunately, the Republicans refused to listen, especially, and they showed that in their budget motion.
And so I've drawn some parallels to what we're seeing in Congress as well. And it seems like you have more demand than ever for bipartisanship, or at least an attempt to talk to one another. And yet in both Washington, D.C. and Madison, you see a side of the aisle that is going out of its way to cut Democrats out of the conversation. And I mean, look, I know there's a lot of people that favor this guy who'd love to bring autocracy to the country, but we are not a land of one party rule yet. And yet it seems like it's really too much to ask that, you know, if they're going to need Democratic votes to pass a budget, maybe they would let you get a word in edgewise before they, you know, implode amongst themselves and can't pass a budget.
Well, Democrats are going to continue to fight for the needs of Wisconsinites and talk about what people are actually asking for in the state budget and how we use their tax dollars. And they're asking for investments in childcare to make childcare services fully more affordable and available for communities across the state, especially our rural communities. We need to be paying childcare educators, making sure providers have what they need to stay open. They're asking for increases, actually demanding increases in public education, both K-12 and higher ed. And instead, Republicans responded with, we're going to do an $87 million cut to the universities of Wisconsin. And so Republicans can do, I don't know, I think they really are in disarray. And while we wait for them to get their act together, even though I would like to replace that word with something else, yes. Democrats are going to continue to talk about what Wisconsinites want and are demanding of their government, of their representation. And so folks can talk about bipartisanship in terms of working together, but when the other side has continuously left the negotiating table, when they were left conversations with the governor, I think it's really important that we show people who they are. And who they are folks who refuse to listen to their communities. And so we as Democrats have a deep responsibility to ensure that our message is clear, that we are listening to Wisconsinites. We are going to continue to fight for them. And we have no problem going in to communities whose representatives are not listening and talking about how we can collectively fight back and do better for our communities.
We're talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, and here's where we get into some speculation. And again, I'm happy to be accused of overthinking something, but you've got a couple of Republican senators already saying that they're not going to vote for the thing that's appears to be coming out of the Joint Finance Committee. So in theory, it could get to the point where Republicans don't have enough votes amongst themselves to pass a budget. And you see some reporters writing, well, they may have to go get, you know, one or two votes from the Democratic side of things. And my contention has been that this is very likely just a head fake. This just clears the path for them to say, you know, we can't agree amongst themselves and we don't want to talk to Democrats, so we're just not going to pass a budget. That there's, for some folks, there may not even be an interest in passing a budget because, you know, spending just continues at the current budget level and they don't have to make any tough choices. Is that wildly speculative? Am I wildly overthinking this, or is a no budget a possibility?
Pat, I always appreciate you being thoughtful and analytical. I wouldn't say it's overthinking. It's unfortunate that we are debating on passing a budget that Republicans have presented. This is the Republican budget that they themselves are not agreeing on, that again does the needs of Wisconsinites. I think it's important that we pass a budget that at least makes sure that we are funding public education, childcare, higher education, that we are not opening any new prisons. I think it's important to continue the conversation about Green Bay. Yes, our budget will, the previous session budget will carry over if the budget is not signed as legislation by June 30th. But I also think we have a responsibility to give the governor courage and support to reject a budget that refuses to, that does not meet the needs of Wisconsinites. I think especially with the impending federal cuts and what this big dumb bill that is being worked on and that the Senate most likely will be voting on this week in the reconciliation bill. It's imperative that the state do everything we can to ensure that communities have what they need to take care of the our constituents. And so I think, in addition to the fact that maybe Democrats and Republicans in the Senate are having conversations, a budget that is presented to the governor needs to be one that includes investments in childcare, K-12 education, higher education, and as even though we haven't seen the governor reject the budget in full, this is a much different political climate, and I would hope we can continue to have that conversation about how we need to fight for a budget that reflects the needs and meets the needs of Wisconsinites.
And now you see why people like Alicia have comments like Representative Hong has the patience of a saint, and we not the vocabulary necessarily, but the patience. And that's the thing that's important. Fran, thank you so much for taking time out for talking to us in the middle of a busy family day. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Always happy to be here. Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. Jane Mattinair tells us what's coming up next on her program. A local update for the rest of you, all here on our mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Jane Mattinair is here now. She's coming up next along with Greg Bach, Mattinair on Air, 9 to 11, here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane, how are you?
I am good, Mr. Kreitlow. How about yourself?
I'm great. Although it was funny, we moved out of Milwaukee 34 years ago, and yet you mentioned during the commercial break one of the stations you worked at, and it's fun, the stuff that you cannot control alt delete out of your head is I'm still hearing the Mix 99 FM, you know, jingle in my head.
Ah, yes.
I have the jingle in my head for my first, you know, radio job out of college at WAQE in Rice Lake. I mean, you hear those things over and over again, and they just do not go away. I was asking.
You can't shake it.
Nope. Asking Jane about whether she'd been at Summerfest, and she reminded me just how much she was at Summerfest for that particular radio station year after year after year after year. So do not necessarily be looking for, if you find Jane at Summerfest one of these times, you have found a unicorn.
Yeah, so. I got lost. I somehow inadvertently wandered on, and nothing against Summerfest.
No,
I mean,
no.
I think it's great. It's wonderful for the city. Yep. It's a fantastic festival. I think it's unique.
Yeah, but you've been
in and of itself. But
you get the volume discount. You're like, okay.
I put in my time for at least 20, if not more, years. Mm-hmm. Not only did I do a show at that radio station, a morning show, but then we would have to go down to Summerfest and introduce the night acts.
Ah, and then get up at three in the morning.
So, yes, and oh, we gave away, in a different radio station, we gave away rides on buses, on the shuttle buses. So we would have to ride the buses back and forth to Summerfest and ride the buses back and forth to State Fair. And yeah, I kind of put in my time.
Well, I mean, that's why everybody thinks that, you know, their local radio personality, you do all this because, I mean, for a seven-figure salary, you have sacrifices have to be made,
well,
you know?
Well, it's the glamour. We all do this because of the glamour and the incredible paychecks that we get.
Can't tell you how many times, and it's not a knock on folks. They're not supposed to know how it is behind the scenes, but how many folks asked me to give a message to Tom Brokaw, figuring he worked right down the hall from me.
Because you talk to him all the time.
Because he's doing the news at 5:30, I'm doing the news at 6, so we must be right there.
We're all in the same room.
Yeah. Does not work that way.
No.
In fact, I remember as a weekend anchor once, remember for a time Keith Olbermann was part of MSNBC?
I do.
And one time, I think probably just one if they were smart, they let him fill in on a weekend edition of NBC Nightly News. And so he did the 5:30. I come on, I do the 6 o'clock, and a buddy of mine right away messages me. It's like, Keith Olbermann and Pat Kreitlow. There was so much sarcasm on TV, my TV exploded. We just could not get past all of that. And I think it worked for Olbermann for a time. It worked for me for a time, but you know,
sounds fabulous.
All things must pass. What do you have happening on the show this week?
We are very excited. Obviously, we're going to talk about the U.S. bombing Iran over the weekend, but we will talk about that in a little bit more depth. Charlie Pittman, Civic Media's new news director, is going to be joining us coming up after the 9:30 news. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Charlie. She hasn't been on the show yet, so get to know her a little bit. And all the incredible things that our Civic Media News team is doing. They're all around the state. And if you haven't signed up yet for a newsletter, I would highly encourage you to do that. You can go to civicmedia.us and sign up for our newsletter. You can actually have it curated according to your interests. So it's pretty fabulous. Check that out. And then in hour number two, PJ Leash, he is the bug guy. He's an entomologist with UW-Madison. We've talked to him many, many times over the years. PJ is going to be here after 10 o'clock. Ticks are a bigger than normal problem this year. Mm-hmm. Oh, yay, everyone says collectively. And honeybees.
Okay.
We need honeybees. Honeybees are really important. Pollinators are very important. And now there is a research project on honeybees that it looks like the Trump administration is going to kill.
We'll
talk about that. Yeah,
of course they are. Yep. Of all the things that I've learned about, you know, a changing climate over the years, there are all these little things that we don't talk about as much. And one of them I'd learned is that with drier conditions in many places, it makes it more likely that tick populations are going to go wild. And that there's going to be even more tick-borne illnesses, Lyme disease, and things like that as just one of the many consequences of, you know, the planet's climate changing.
Yeah.
So I think listening to PJ Leash would be very wise for folks to, you know, be safe. What are the good critters and the bad ones?
Yeah. Well, and I just wish, as far when it comes to ticks, really the only thing you can do is either stay indoors mm-hmm. or essentially wear a burqa. You know, so they can't get to you because there just aren't a lot of good, you know, I don't know if any of the sprays are really that effective against ticks. We will find out more when we talk to PJ Leash, UW-Madison's bug guy.
All right. So if you weren't at Summerfest, how did Jane beat the heat this weekend?
I went out and I watered my flowers and checked to make sure that they weren't all just expiring in the heat. Yeah, and I went through, this was really fun yesterday. I spent several hours going through paperwork in my office. It's like it's too hot to be outside, so I think I'll shred things. I have my taxes going back to 1998.
Oh, my.
I think that's too long.
It is. I think you only have to save them for 7 years, but... Yeah. Here's the thing. I mean, taxes to a degree, but we throw receipts and warranty info in a box, and that's a time capsule because you're going back and finding warranties or receipts for furniture you don't have anymore or small appliances you don't have anymore.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, sometimes that's a hoot when you realize this thing. Oh, I forgot we even own this thing and we only paid this much for it, you know?
It's pretty amazing.
But at some point, yeah, we have to get serious about that in our basement because otherwise our kids are going to have to move it all someday when we're gone, and I don't want to put that on them.
So much paper.
Yes.
So much paper, yeah. It was a really exciting afternoon at our house. I was shredding.
Hey, maintenance has got to be done. So,
that's right.
All right, Jane and Greg coming up right after the 9 o'clock news here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, Jane. Have a great week.
Thank you, Pat. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you. I'll be making an appearance there. And then making an appearance here tomorrow at 8:30 will be Dan Schaefer. We will be talking to Chad Holmes as well. My thanks to all of today's guests and to you for being part of today's festivities. Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Up North.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.